Scripture lesson this evening is taken from the book of Psalms. Scripture and text, Psalm 1. This is, again, the infallible and inerrant word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here ends the reading. The word of the Lord. May the Spirit who gave it bless also now its explanation. Boys and girls, young people, congregation of Jesus Christ, traveling on vacation anywhere in the lower 48 states of this nation, upon occasion, as you well know, if you've done it and come to a rather large metropolitan city area, let's say Chicago, St. Louis, Denver, LA, or anywhere else in between, or to the East Coast for that matter, you encounter vast interstate lanes of traffic, sometimes, as it was in California, 5 or 6 lanes going in one direction and others coming towards you in the other direction. And it can be quite an experience if you're caught in rush hour traffic, let's say between 6 or 9 in the morning or 4 to 7 in the afternoon, if you're not ready for it. Who's ready for all of a sudden rush hour traffic coming to a complete stop? And there you sit, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn off. But sometimes in those places, you'll find the far left lane to be one that is the fast lane. Sometimes a requirement is simply to have a prepaid pass, or simply to have more than one passenger in the car. And you can go the speed limit, or in some cases, some people would go over the speed limit, huh? Now, as I was putting together the sermon this week, and thinking about Psalm 1, that came to mind. Because in many ways, beloved, as we'll see in a few moments, it describes the difference between being a child of God and someone being a child of, in essence, of the world. Living in a fast lane, doing as one pleases, without any regard to the moral law of God, in contrast to the person of God. And so I've entitled the sermon tonight simply, Traversing the Supreme Course or Roadway as God's Saved Children. The supreme course of God's saved children. First of all, note with me the godly avenue of the God-fearing person. The godly avenue of the God-fearing person. Beloved, immediately in the opening verse of this psalm, it becomes apparent that the God-honoring individual is traveling the best highway separated from the unbelieving world and the masses of humanity solely by God's grace. Oh, whoever penned this psalm, and we don't know, boys and girls or young people, congregation, who did the psalm, book of Psalms doesn't tell us, it wasn't David apparently, is led by the Holy Spirit, you see, to portray then a delightful life of fruitfulness. It's very evident from the initial word with which the psalm opens, the word blessed. That Hebrew word could be translated happy, fortunate, supremely fulfilled because God's blessings rest upon one as part of his saved people. It reminds us, of course, of the Beatitudes of Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for example. This writer, therefore, is referring, you see, to the crucial biblical truths, starting where all of us start. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve in paradise. Genesis chapter 3. We're all sinners, aren't we? The only difference, of course, is God's grace in your and my life. Nevertheless, here, that one that is depicted in this first verse of this psalm is blessed because of God's grace that is have been set upon that special pathway of life that is headed then towards eternity. In contrast, the other persons we'll see in a few moments in this verse described as one who does not listen to God's way, who walks contrary to God's standard for morality, for the difference between right and wrong. So who is then this blessed one? How would we identify him? Well, basically, To put it in today's language, the one who is blessed, the one who is walking on that godly avenue, is one who does not follow then the unbelieving philosophy of the world and its theories, especially in relationship to daily life. That word counsel literally has in mind then the world's advice, as it would be expressed in a certain, lack of a better word, belief system. Its own ethics of morality that is contrary to the Word of God, the law, the Ten Commandments, boys and girls and young people, that we heard this morning, that set before us what God expects of us in relationship to worship of Him and in relationship to our fellow man. You see, the God-fearing person who's walking that God way then, that good, godly avenue, is the one who is living, thinking, and acting in a way that will be contrary to the unbelieving world's popular thought system. That one who says, well, the perspective of the majority of the population is what's important, no one else. I'm sure you realize by experience that therefore the child of God often is standing then in an opposing position in the world around him or her. That you and I as godly people are walking that avenue with God 24/7, 52 in a biblical way that affects the whole of our life Sunday through Sunday, despite the fact that one is out of step then with the ungodly world or community, whether that's at work or at play, whether that's in education or in the community. Now, don't misunderstand the psalmist tonight. Don't misunderstand yours truly. This is not advocating, then, that as Christians we should withdraw from the world, we should put a wall around us, that we only can be with those who have the same faith as we do, that we have no contact with the world. But at the same time, while it does not demand that kind of separation as some groups are still doing it today, it also means we'd better be very, very careful about the friendships we have with the unbelieving world. That rather than us influencing them for the good and the praise of God's glory, they in turn would turn us away from that godly avenue to take the other pathway. That they would infiltrate our thinking so that we no longer, with heart and voice and life, would profess Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but also as Lord over all of our existence. You remember how often Jesus encountered the Pharisees in particular of the religious establishment, looking down their noses of superiority at him because they said, he sits and he feasts and he eats and he associates with publicans and sinners. Oh, that was a derogatory, critical denouncement of the Master, beloved. As if by that association alone, Jesus was condoning, Jesus was approving of an ungodly lifestyle. That wasn't true. But Jesus was using that opportunity to be a witness of the Father, to point out the difference between the child of God and the unbeliever. Yes, the Pharisees had that long list of do's and don'ts. You take so many steps on the Sabbath day, but you don't take any more unless first you, quote, have rested. Then you can proceed to go somewhere else. Doesn't make sense, does it? Of course it doesn't. You were not supposed to eat the egg laid by the chicken unless you intended to kill it. But if you kept it for a profit, namely to lay more eggs, then you couldn't eat the egg of that particular chicken. You say, come on. You had to wash yourself, your hands, so many times a day. No wonder we call them hypocrites. That's what they were. They didn't practice what they preached. They lived the way they wanted to live the other 6 days of the week. But on the Sabbath day, oh, then they would dot every I and cross every T. Psalm 1's words then are talking about those who are walking then that supreme courseway, that we do not laugh amidst the mockers or the scorners with those who are opposed to God's will for both worship and daily life. Again, that wasn't a list. So don't misunderstand me. It's not a list to go back 4 or 5 generations and say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that on the Lord's Day or somewhere else of life. But listen. Listen how the psalmist portrays that one walking on the supreme pathway. He says he meditates on the law of God day and night. Thinks about it. Conjured it in his mind. How does it apply to me in my life? How does it apply to my family? How am I as a father or a mother to teach my children what it means to walk the straight pathway, the supreme way? In fact, you can say, in essence, that the psalmist is saying this is more fundamental than eating physical food and drink of daily life. And so he uses an analogy or comparison to drive the point home. He says, as he puts it in the psalm, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. What was he saying? He's taking an analogy from everyday life. That when you planted trees in Israel, you planted it near a source of water. That its roots would dig deep. It would go down deep. It just wouldn't have green leaves. It would produce fruit in its right season. And that's the language he uses to describe then the man or woman of God. He's describing people, you see, who are God-fearing, who are traversing then the straight pathway for faith and life consistently. But what about you or me? Are we doing that? Well, let's be honest before God this morning, this evening. Or are we going to be inconsistent this week when we go back into the workaday world of tomorrow? The worst testimony, you see, that a Christian can give is when we don't practice what we preach on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday at work, out there in the world, wherever that takes us. So there's a godly pathway of the saved person. But now notice the contrast. The wrong avenue of the unsaved individual. For the psalmist in Psalm 1, the opposite course or pathway than that traveled by the person of God is that of the wicked. He's virtually saying, this is radically different. I would label tonight to live persistently in the fast lane of life today. To live apart from God's moral standard, his rules, his norms. To live out of step with God's standard, deliberately, even if one knows the truth. Even as we said this morning, when your conscience testifies. Because even in general revelation, as we said in relationship to those sailors on that ship, the time of Jonah, God had revealed himself in creation so that, as Paul writes it, as we said this morning in Romans 1, verse 19 and 20, they are left without excuse. Yeah. But then he uses another agricultural term, doesn't he, here? He says, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. After he said, the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff. Say, what in the world is chaff? It's the unedible, unusable part of the grain of harvest season. Again, agricultural terminology that the Israelites in the Old Testament or anyone who would read it would understand it. You see, kids, when they harvested grain at any time of the year, they weren't using John Deere tractors or combines. Oh, they did it the old-fashioned way, perhaps with a mule or an ox, maybe just by hand. And they may have taken it to the mill, where an animal would go around in a circle with a millstone to grind the grain. But they also may have thrown it up in the air and let the wind take the chaff and blow it away because it was that light. That's what the psalmist describes the wicked like. Today I would say it's a person who's controlled by self-interests, influenced again by ungodly philosophies, ruled by emotions, willing to accept the alternative acceptable lifestyle simply because the majority have said so. And so their life and their actions and their thought system does not square with the word of God. They don't care. It's how I feel, my emotions, ruled by my emotions. That's all that's important, they would tell us. Speaks directly, beloved, to what we're experiencing in this country because of a court decision a couple of years ago. Well, the majority said that the acceptable alternative lifestyle of the homosexual and the lesbian is okay, approvable, and then it begins to sweep across college and university campuses, some who would loosely have the quote word Christian on it. Yeah. It affects churches and denominations and practical life. All deemed okay just because the Supreme Court said so. No, it's contrary to the word of God. The psalmist says these people are doomed. He said, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. That's straightforward, blunt language here. It addresses itself to those tonight who are living in the fast lane without concern or regard for the moral law of God, and who would discard a future judgment day of accountability coming when they will stand before the Almighty and have to give account, as we all will, of every thought, word, and deed we've ever expressed publicly or privately or even silently. But see, they're living apart from God and His will for both faith and life. But what about judgment day coming? They don't care. Many would tell us, well, we're just like the animal. We're here today, we die tomorrow, and that's the end of it. Bang, boom, it's over with. Or they'll say, well, we believe in reincarnation. See, they don't care about the Word of God. That's how many are living today, separated from God. But God is saying there's a day of accountability coming. Yes, there is a heaven, praise God's name, for those who profess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But there's also a place called hell for those who don't accept Christ, who reject Him, who turn away from His law. Now, we're not talking about someone of a different nationality or language or culture. We're not basing this upon where you live in town, on the right or the wrong side of the track, so to speak. We're not talking about someone who has a different style of clothing worn in public. This is not based upon one's career or job or education or what they own. It's someone who has an entirely different life belief system, who would reject the gospel by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone, and to God alone be the glory. They're walking the fast lane, but it's a fast lane going this way, down, and not upward. You see, that means life in the here and now is where you and I, by the grace of God, make the best scriptural, God-honoring choices. That we follow the correct way of God throughout life, 24/7/52. That's a sobering thought when you think that's how we're supposed to live, in contrast to today's acceptable society. But you see, if we're living on the fast lane, we're on a slippery slope that goes downward. And it does lead to eternal separation from God. You see, when we reside within that community, when we have rejected, when one has rejected the Word of God, it may be acceptable to general society because that's what the majority have approved. It may make one in with the crowd, doesn't make one acceptable to Almighty God. And which is more important? My peers? My friends? Sometimes my relatives? Or what's acceptable in my life by God Himself? Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. That's the one that's blessed. That's like that tree planted by streams of water will be fruitful. The wicked are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is true. Years ago, living in Southern California, one was working in the accounting department of a company. It was all male accounting department ladies. For whatever the reason, because everybody was basically of that gender throughout that company. But of that staff in that accounting department, over 50%, listen carefully, this is headed toward 40 years ago, over 50% were homosexuals or tolerant of that lifestyle. Now imagine what it's like for a Christian, a born-again, converted, God-fearing, walking on the right way, and added to it, a Reformed Christian, that when you are invited to their weekend parties where excessive alcohol is consumed and drunkenness is tolerated, or you're expected to go to the company functions at certain times of the year where carousing and alcohol makes one inebriated and ends up in the men's restroom, and you know what I'm talking about, I don't have to go beyond that, right? You stand out in contrast to that. And then you're told by your boss, you must be at those functions. No way, Jose. My Sundays are in church. One of these young men is a homosexual, and understand where I'm coming from now. Not condemning him because of his religious affiliation. But he was a member of the Roman Catholic Church. A French Roman Catholic. Who, if we worked on Saturdays, had been out to a gay bar on Friday nights. And he was hungover on Saturday morning. Yours truly was working with him, and nobody else was around. I didn't say anything. I merely looked at Don. He said, yeah, I know what you're thinking, Marv. I says, are you sure? I haven't said a word. He says, no, I know. He says, you know, I haven't been to Mass in years. And playing kind of the devil's advocate at that point, I said, why not, Don? I knew why. He said, well, if I go, I've got to go to confession first. And that means I have to tell the priest I'm a homosexual. And he's going to tell me I've got to give up that lifestyle. And I don't want to. I said, Don, but you know different, don't you? You know what's right, don't you? Yeah. After a while, trying to exist in that climate became intolerable. I don't know what it would be like today. I can't imagine what it would be like today. It has to be far worse. Because they would let people go if you were a Christian. In their estimation, not fulfilling your job. And they did, one young man I had worked with for a period of time. But finally, you have to break the ties. You see, that cost is tremendous. It was. It's a loss of a job. Yeah. Could be a loss of a career. Yeah. But then God opens other doors, doesn't he? Are we willing? Are we willing to continue to walk the right pathway, the godly pathway, the supreme one? May God grant it's always be so. And because it's Father's Day today, and that's the only thing I would address then, especially to fathers, walk consistently before your covenant children. Live a life that evidences itself every day of the week. I know you and I aren't perfect. We're only sinners saved by grace, beloved, but we have to strive by it, don't we? That's what God calls us to do. Remember, blessed is a man who walks hand in hand with God and not with the wicked. Amen. Oh, eternal and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace in our lives, for your calling us out of the darkness of sin into the light of the gospel and to walk by your word. Give us the power, give us the conviction by the Spirit through the word to walk consistently, whether we're young or old, married or single, men or women, boys or girls, that one day you can say, welcome home, my servant. May it always be so. But also, Father, we pray for those perhaps in our family or our acquaintances who have turned away from you again, who walk contrary to your law and your word. Oh, Father, will you yet, in mercy and grace, pull them back before it's too late? In Jesus' name we pray, and for your glory. Amen.